in our Wednesday workplace news, the institutional culture of a big university, plus tying CEO pay to performance. There hasn't been a shorter presidency of Harvard University since 1862. Lawrence Summers announced yesterday he would resign effective June 30th after five stormy years at the head of the nation's premier university. Summers is a former U.S. Treasury Secretary whose blunt management style alienated Harvard's faculty. Despite repeated attempts at reconciliation, Summers never managed to win their confidence. As NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports, not everyone is cut out to run a major university, especially a high-profile campus like Harvard.
Lawrence Summers was the first president in Harvard's 370-year history to receive a vote of no confidence from his faculty. He was set it for a second vote of no confidence before deciding to step down.
My hope is that history will judge my presidency not on the moments of rancor, but on the things we've been able to do together.
In a hastily arranged conference call, Harvard's governing board accepted Summers' resignation with what it called great regret. Although no one should be surprised, says Jack McGuire, a well-known consultant in higher education.
The signs were all there. My sense was that the resignation was inevitable.
McGuire says Summers and Harvard were simply not a good fit. What makes for a good fit? That was one of the questions McGuire explored in a survey of 764 college presidents and chancellors for the Chronicle of Higher Education a few months ago. The three key things most often cited as crucial and necessary in leading an institution?
First, leadership, which is, of course, hard to define. But then the other two were interpersonal relations and a connection with the mission and understanding of the culture of the institution.
McGuire says everything, morale, trust, and confidence in where an institution is heading, starts with a university president's ability to connect with the people who should want to embrace his or her vision. That didn't happen at Harvard under Summers. Although some say it's not fair to blame Summers entirely. John DiBiagio has been in the hot seat himself as president at the University of Connecticut, Tufts University, and Michigan State.
Well, I think, you know, the presidency of Harvard is a difficult task. There's no question about it. The colleges operate quite independently and have done so for some time.
DiBiagio now advises institutions in search of new leadership. He agrees universities often pick people who are seen as a breath of fresh air, someone who come in and shake things up. Summers, for example, would often say that the Harvard faculty as a whole had gotten old and complacent. Well, that was unlikely to endear him to those who felt that they were being pushed out, says DiBiagio.
Presidents can be change agents, and many have been, but often when that's the case, you know, their tenures are not long because universities don't like to change dramatically. They're very traditional places. Some would even say that they're rigid.
And that, in a nutshell, seems to be the story of Summers' tenure at Harvard. At his news conference, Summers was asked what advice he would give the next president of Harvard. He said the next president would be well advised to think carefully about the broad range of views and interest groups on campus and about the people that make up Harvard, people that he conceded he did not connect with very well.
There were certainly moments when I could have challenged the community more respectfully, and those two are lessons to be learned.
Summers' resignation is effective June 30th. He plans to take a sabbatical, then return to Harvard as a member of the group that ousted him, the Harvard faculty. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.